welcome to the One Shot Cricket Podcast, the Sports Gazette's official cricket podcast. I'm Michael, hosting for the first time today, but don't worry, we've still got the band. We've got Toby, we've got Ayush. How are you guys, Toby? Start with you.
Yeah, good, thanks, good. Final World Cup coverage podcast, I guess, which will be interesting. One of them will be back after this for general cricket coverage.
Yeah, sad day, but Ayush, how you doing?
For everyone who's worried about me, I'm getting over the disappointment of Sunday. I'll be fine. I'm a hopeful person, so yeah.
Good. Okay, so today for our final World Cup podcast, we're going to be talking team of the tournament. We've all got our teams, but we need to come to a consensus. We're going to debate it and come to an 11, and we're going to write an article on the Sports Gazette with our final 11. So we'll start with you, Toby. What is your team of the tournament?
I've gone for Rohit Sharma, Travis Head, Quinton de Kock, Virat Kohli, Daryl Mitchell, KL Rahul, Glenn Maxwell at number 7, then bowlers being Shami, Curtsy, Zampa and Bumrah.
Interesting. Okay. Ayush, what about you?
Oh, I mean, that was an interesting one, Toby. There's a couple of things we'll talk about, but for me, I'll just get through my team first. It's Rohit Sharma, who will also be my captain. Travis Head opening with him. Yeah, he did play a few games, but yes, he's just so good. Virat Kohli at number 3, because I personally feel just having him below, that would be kind of a waste for him. Daryl Mitchell, I've gone with at number 4. I was really rooting for Rachin Ravindra, but yeah, I think Daryl Mitchell makes the cut in my team finally. Glenn Maxwell at 5, Heinrich Klassen at 6, keeper batter. Ravindra Jadeja has to be there in my team at 7. And then there's the bowlers are Adam Zampa, Mohammad Shami, Mitch Stark, and Jasprit Bumrah.
So not too dissimilar from me then.
Yeah, not too much.
Okay. My team is Rohit Sharma and Quinton de Kock opening the batting. Rachin Ravindra at number 4. Virat Kohli number 3.
Ooh.
You're
shuffling him down.
Yeah, maybe play him at 3. 3 or 4, doesn't matter. Either way, got Daryl Mitchell at 5. Glenn Maxwell at 6. And I've got Mitchell Santner. At 7. No Jadeja. I've got Jared Coetzee at 8. Mohammad Shami, Adam Zampa, and Jasprit Bumrah.
So that's the same bowling attack as me then.
Okay, so who are we agreed on?
Well, I think Rohit Sharma and Mohammad Shami and Virat Kohli are pretty much nailed on. I think we all put them in our team.
Yep.
Positions, I guess, subject to change depending on.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. What do you guys. Because like I said, with Virat, I understand with the number 3 or 4, of course, that's debatable. But for me personally, just having him anywhere below 3 is kind of a waste. Because as good as he was at this World Cup, I did also consider his ability to really accelerate at the end. Because I think he was more suited to play at 3 and just gives them the freedom to play run a ball and not having them to play at 130, 140s. So, yeah, but yeah, I'd like to know.
Yeah, I think I think his best position is definitely 3. For me, my biggest issue is that the sort of top order was by far easier to pick and much stronger. So, obviously, I tried to fit 3 openers in there, basically, and therefore kind of had to shuffle Kohli down with Sharma, Head and de Kock, unless one of them wanted to bat it. At number 4, which obviously Michael had a bit with Rachin Ravindra possibly at 4. So it's a tough one. I think it's I think the top run scorers are obviously all opening batters and then Virat being at number 3. So it made it a bit harder, I thought, to try and squeeze everyone in.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So I didn't got some left field picks in here, Ayush. Klassen in there, interesting one.
Yeah.
Mitchell Stark in there.
I was struggling with a keeper because, you know, I, of course, obviously thought of Quinton de Kock at the top, but I was leaning more towards Travis Head. Yes, Rohit, Travis Head, I completely get they're both that explosive kind of players, but they both also have the ability to for one of them to kind of play through and one of them to be explosive. Travis had showed that in the final. Rohit has shown that for hundreds of years now in this format. But yeah, so that's why. And then I really liked the explosiveness of Klaassen there at number six. So, and he did have some really good innings in this World Cup as well, South Africa semis. So that's where I went with him.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so I think let's start off Travis Head. You've both put him in.
Yeah.
I have gone for Quinton de Kock.
Who I did have at three, though.
So you do have at three. Mm.
This is a tough one.
This is probably the biggest debate here. I mean, Quinton de Kock, 594 runs. 59.4 average. Travis Head, 329 runs, 54.83 average. Of course, played less games, came into the tournament late. And then I guess we've got to include Rachin Ravindra in this debate for the top four. Because I think, you know, two of those three getting alongside Sharma and Virat.
You think you can squeeze two of them in? That means you basically saying Kohli's probably going to slide down. I don't know, that's our big question. Do we want Virat Kohli at three, first
of all? That's the entire thing. For me, I'm clear he's nowhere below number three.
Okay, we'll go with him at number three. As the India fan, we'll take your word for it. So we'll have Virat Kohli at three. So Travis Head or Quinton de Kock? Give me your arguments for Travis Head.
The ability to, I think, just like Rohit Sharma, take the game away completely. But currently, I think, given the situation, like I said, Rohit is also capable of playing through and kind of suppressing his aggressive side a little bit if you want the openers to play, in a way, good cop, bad cop, if that makes sense. But yeah, I think Travis Head, better in form kind of player on current form, and I just really like him, the way his intent, I think his intent is the biggest selling point in my opinion, and left right combination, I always like that. Yeah, of course that same argument is with Quinton de Kock as well, but I'm just leaning towards Travis Head because I think the intent for me is what wins it for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big argument for Travis Head is that he did it in the big games, didn't he? He won the final on his own, basically, and semi-final he was excellent as well. Quinton de Kock, though, played more matches, higher average, played 10 matches, 59.4 average. Travis Head played 5 matches, I want to say, 54.83 average.
Six matches in the final, yeah.
Okay, so Quinton de Kock, in terms of consistency, this is a team of the tournament. It's not a team of the semi-final and final, you know?
But the biggest part of the tournament is the semi-final and the final. And what did Quinton de Kock do when he got 5? Struggled a bit over the batting. It's a tough one. I mean, I think there's a lot of recency bias with Travis Head in the way that he did it at the end of the tournament, kind of carrying Australia over the line after he got off to a bit of a poor start, whereas de Kock was way more consistent throughout the whole thing. I mean, to average, whatever he did, 50, average 60 basically, scoring 400s. 400s is absolutely crazy in a World Cup.
Yep.
In just 10 matches. That's unbelievable when you really think about it.
I mean, the thing is, we need a wicketkeeper. And I don't think Klaassen should be in the team of the tournament. 373 runs, 41.44 average.
Well, this is where
he had a great game against England, but I just think you'd be forcing him in there just to get a wicketkeeper. And you've got Quinton de Kock there, who was one of the best players of the tournament, and he had a more consistent tournament than Travis Head.
This is maybe where my shout for Kaya Rahul comes in, though.
It's an interesting one.
As an averaged 75 at the bat, 450 runs.
Yep.
I think played to three or four different roles within that Indian side, depending on what they needed him to do.
Mm.
He was obviously very explosive at times. Very good death hitter, but also when they lost early wickets in that final, he maybe batted a bit slowly, but he showed that he has a different way he can go about things, and he's such a versatile player, could bat at 5 or at 6, and allows them maybe Maxwell or another hitter to come in lower down the order.
Yeah,
is a possible option.
Great shout, KL Rahul, 75.33 average. That's serious. That is.
I really think what happened in the finals shouldn't take away from the great tournament that he had. Because I think the final was more of a case of the entire team, barring Rohit, not being able to display the kind of intent they did leading up to the final. So it's not just on him, but otherwise he was in the build-up to... if you look at the entire campaign, which would start from the Asia Cup, he was probably the second best batter in that time.
I'm really struggling here.
All right, so we need to finalize an opener, is it?
We need to come to a conclusion here. We need to. Oh man, this is tough.
Should we have a vote on it then?
Well, it comes down to you, Toby, because Aisha's gone. Travis Head, I vote for Quinton de Kock.
It comes down to you.
It's your call.
I think just for what he did in the final, basically, I think Travis Head has to be my opener.
Okay, Travis Head, welcome to the team of the tournament. So, our front three are Rohit Sharma, Travis Head, and Virat Kohli. It's not bad, to be fair. It's not bad. I'm okay with that. Travis Head was my one where I'm kind of flexible about it. You know?
We can always try and shuffle in Quinton de Kock down the order if we really need to. I'm sure he can do a job at five or six if he has to.
It's true.
He can. I've always thought he could. Mm. So,
there's an option.
Yeah, okay. So, number four, Aayush, you've got Daryl Mitchell.
Mm.
Toby, you've got Daryl Mitchell at number five. You've got, obviously, Quinton de Kock at three. That's an interesting one.
Who did you have in at number four?
Rashan Ravindra.
Four.
I think not having... Well, I had Rashan Ravindra in at three and Virat Kohli at four.
Mm.
I think not having Rashan Ravindra in is seriously harsh. Breakout tournament, three centuries, first New Zealand player to score three centuries in the tournament, 64.22 average, 578 runs.
Their stats are almost identical, Mitchell and Ravindra. They both scored, 552 to 578, both averaged in the 60s, both at a strike rate of about 105, 110. Ravindra got that one more century, but
it is just really marginal, because even what I noted down for my team of the tournament, I have written both their names, and I have written them just about giving the edge to Mitchell, because I think, I don't know, do you guys, because if you guys think that Rachin Ravindra could be as explosive when needed as Daryl Mitchell at number four, then I think that's fine. I think that was the only reason I gave Daryl Mitchell the edge, because they both can bowl. For me, that was a very important thing, that my top six should have at least one, if not two bowlers, because eventually that's what hurt India.
Yeah.
If you saw after Hardik went, they had five bowlers, that's it. No one coming in. In the final, what if they could have had that extra bowler who could have maybe changed things around or gotten a big wicket that the batters would not have prepared that much for? Like India with Glenn Maxwell, probably. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I personally would have Rachin Ravindra and Daryl Mitchell in.
Oh,
what the fuck? I'd have Mitchell at five, yeah.
Ooh,
interesting. I don't think... I think Daryl Mitchell, in terms of pecking order, is higher for me than Rachin Ravindra. I think Daryl Mitchell had more innings-defining innings, if you know what I mean.
Match-defining innings, yeah.
Yeah, like...
I mean, he's got... Both his hundreds came against India.
Yeah.
In two very good games.
Yeah. Ravindra, yeah. Oh, so tough. Okay.
I personally think you can probably only have one of them in.
Okay.
And they bat at four, and then you have two slots below them for two very explosive, very interesting players.
This is why you need Quinton de Kock, because then you don't have to force a wicket keeper in.
But personally, I'd have had KL Rahul in over both of these two. I think he had a better tournament than both of them.
How? No, I'm not having that. Rashan Ravindra got 126 more runs than him.
Yeah, but I think when you look at these, 100 and whatever of them were against England, which don't really count, I'd say, with the way that we played.
Okay.
Unless we don't have Glenn Maxwell in, maybe.
No. Glenn Maxwell is definite.
All of us did select Maxwell.
He has to be in.
Yeah, Maxwell is one of our seven who we all selected.
Yeah.
Alongside Rohit, Virat Kohli, Daryl Mitchell.
So we all selected Daryl Mitchell?
Mm, that's interesting. So Mitchell has to be in there then.
He has to, yeah.
Are we going Mitchell at four?
I think.
No Ratchet and Ninja.
We've all picked him.
We can do that for now. We'll do it for now. We can always shuffle it around.
We can revisit this.
Yeah.
We make the rules. This is our podcast. We can do what we want.
I mean, how Harry Brook replaced Jason Roy at the end, we could always replace him.
It's true. Okay, so at 5.
See, this is where I'd have Kara Hall in, probably.
Well, you had Mitchell, and then Kara.
Yeah, but this is the thing, is because I had Quinton the Cop at the top of the order. Everyone's sort of down a place.
Hmm.
You had Glenn Maxwell at 5. Yes. I think we should push Maxwell down. I think we should have him at 6.
Yeah,
That's a fair shout, because for me, Maxwell can play anywhere. I mean, anywhere. Mm. What I mean is 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, I even had him at 7.
7's too low for him, but yeah. I mean, he can play at 6 as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. So at 5, we're saying Kale Rahul or Klaassen or Shreya Zaya could have a shout. Mm-hmm.
Quinton de Kock. Ratchan Ravindra.
We need that keeper, don't we?
Yeah. This is for the wicket keeper. Ratchan Ravindra is out of it. We're not putting Ratchan Ravindra in the team. He'll be in our...
I'm sure he'll make it.
He'll make it into our 15.
Mm. And I'm sure he'll make it into the... He'll walk into the 11 in 4 years' time.
That's very true.
He'll be 27 then, and it's going
to
be...
Coming into his prime, hopefully. We could go back to the good old days of having a keeper down at number 10 or number 11 maybe as well.
All right, so Shreya Zaya is out of it. He can't wicket keep. So it's Klaassen or KL Rahul.
I think Pertigal Rahul...
Or Quinton de Kock.
...walks in. Quinton de Kock, if you want to fudge the team...
I don't like him. Not at six. I think... Or 5. I think... He opened the batting the whole tournament. It would be weird to put him at 5. If you're going to put him in, I'd have him in at 3 like Toby did. And then push Kohli down to 4, Mitchell down to 5.
I mean...
Or Travis Head at 3.
For the sake of consensus, I'm really okay with KL Rahul as well at 6. Because he has shown... Okay. I don't know, for some reason, after the surgery and the comeback after what, 6-7 months was it? I didn't think it was possible, because he was a really, really talented complete player earlier as well. But I just found he was much better in these last couple of months. He showed a lot more range to his game since he made that return at the Asia Cup. So earlier, maybe I would have thought that KL Rahul at 6 could be a really, really big problem. Earlier, because, I mean, if you're having him at 6 now. But now, I do see with... You know, someone says that, yeah, KL Rahul at 6 is not a bad show.
Are we moving Maxwell up to 5?
Well, I think Rahul at 5, Maxwell at 6 probably is more of the... Yeah. He batted there throughout as well.
Yeah, so that would be fair.
Just
because Maxwell can bat either position, so it's...
And I mean, I think the biggest thing with KL Rahul is you look at his innings throughout the tournament, and they were just so different. I mean, he obviously blasted 100 against the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic, and then compare that to his final performance in the final, exactly. 66 off 100, pretty much the opposite. And he came in as a finisher at times. I mean, what was it, against Bangladesh, I want to say? Quick fire 30 odds.
Even in the semi final against, in the semis against New Zealand, I think he had a 26 or 27 ball, 39 or 40, something like that.
39 from 20, yeah.
Yeah, so the damage is already done by. Virat and Shreyas Iyer, but he did do his job at the end.
Well, I mean that final 40 was quite crucial as well. When you look at it, New Zealand had to go so much harder because he put on...
That was the difference at the end.
He put on enough at the end, with Shubman Gill.
So that's what I mean with his range, because he just seems like an even more improved player after having missed 6 or 7 months. It's interesting, but yeah.
Okay, so... We are putting KL Rahul in there. He is our wicketkeeper and number 6. Maxwell at 5.
Maxwell at 6.
Okay. I'm all right with that. KL Rahul was definitely one of my... Like, it was hard to leave him out of my team. I'm okay with that. So now we're on to our bowling order. Some interesting shouts. Pretty similar.
Who did you guys have at number 7 is the question.
This is the real debate. So I've got Mitchell Santner.
Ooh.
I think he had a really, really good tournament.
He did. I mean, I think he was as instrumental as some of the batters in getting them to the semis,
because
he needed to be the guy with Sodhi in and out, and then I think he eventually playing how much maybe two matches.
Yeah, didn't play enough.
Then the onus was really on Santner. I think he did well. But it's difficult for me to look past Ravindra Jadeja, especially at seven. So he's my pick.
Yeah. At seven, I think, Toby, you had
Brad Maxwell.
So we've already got him in. So this is between Jadeja and Santner. It's such a good debate because they're so similar.
Yeah.
Both got 16 wickets. Jadeja, better at bowling average, 24.87. Santner's was 28.06. Economy, Jadeja's was 4.25. Santner's was 4.84. But I want to make a case for Mitchell Santner because I think he was such a big reason as to why New Zealand got to the semi-final. And I think New Zealand's bowling attack was really poor, especially when Matt Henry went out injured. And, yeah, like, 2 for 37 against England in the first game and that massive win, which was a huge win for New Zealand. 1 for 37 against India, 2 for 22 against Sri Lanka. I think the reason his numbers, I mean, he's got the same amount of wickets as Jadeja, but I think he could have had more, but the opposition teams kind of felt like they had to see him out. You saw that in the semi-final, India against New Zealand. They just saw Santner out, saw his overs out. They didn't want to, you know, go too hard against him because the other New Zealand bowlers were pretty, you know, not at their best. Well, the likes of Lockie Ferguson, Trent Bolt.
I think he was leading a spin attack of all-rounders, basically, when you had, Rachin Ravindra and Glenn Phillips, who neither are frontline spinners by any means. Ishodi was obviously in the squad, but wasn't picked very often and didn't perform that well when he did. And they were, Mark Chapman, I guess, was in the squad at times. But they meant they had to use a lot of pots. You look at that 11 that played against England. I remember seeing it and thinking, they're either going to skittle us or we're going to put on 600 here. Like, they had three frontline bowlers with Santner. Did Southey play in that one and Ferguson? Trent Bolt and Lockie Ferguson, possibly. Yeah. And just thinking, that's just crazy. They had Neesham was going to have to bowl his overs. They knew Ravindra would have to bowl a lot. And then Santner went and took 2 for 37 and bowled very tightly, contained really well, which is what he is so good at, and wickets came because of it, and England then collapsed and actually allowed Glenn Phillips to get some crucial wickets because England felt like, and the other teams in the tournament felt like, they had to attack someone and one of the spinners, and they couldn't attack Santner because he generally bowled very well.
Meanwhile, Jadeja had Mohammad Shami, Jasprit Bumrah to bowl with. It's a bit different.
However, in this team, he likely will also have Jasprit Bumrah and Mohammad Shami to bowl with.
It's true. Ayush, what's your Jadeja argument?
That he's Jadeja. For me, that is the argument. Because he is one of India's greatest ever, I would say. Given batting, bowling, fielding, I really think he is the best fielder in the world as well. So that's where...
It's a big
claim. Santner is really good as well, especially with his technique and stuff. But for me, Ravindra Jadeja is the best fielder in the world. Fielding, catching, and it's just that I think with his fielding, there is a sense of danger among batters where if the ball has gone to Ravindra Jadeja, especially if you feel like he's going to be able to release the ball really quickly or with his left arm, batters are scared. And I think that's where you save runs as well as a team.
And you get silly run outs because of it as well.
Yes. And we've seen that with him, with his, you know, his contribution to run outs. And as a batter, I think Santner's good as well, but I think Ravindra Jadeja, just as a batter, is different. Yeah, I know the numbers are really great, and in the final as well, Jadeja, he could have shown a lot more intent, but I think he's a more complete batter. If you're 100 for 5 or something like that, I'd bank on Jadeja more. Yeah. And if you were 300 for 5 with 3 overs to spare, I'd also bank on Jadeja more to give you a quick fire 25.
Yeah, but with the batting lineup that we have, I don't think we'll get to 7, to be honest.
So, just what happened with India throughout the tournament.
Pretty much.
Didn't have to depend on him for his batting.
True. So, let's put it to a vote. Santner or Jadeja? I vote for Mitchell Santner. Ayush?
Jadeja. It's again Toby's the tiebreaker.
This is the hardest thing. I think partly just for the batting side of things, I think Jadeja might need to make it. However, there is room, I think, for Santner down the order. Maybe the number 8 could be an option, depending on how we want it. And that strengthens the lineup because, I mean, my sort of bottom four, very similar to India's throughout the tournament, seemed very weak. I have Shami at 8, which I thought was my one big criticism of India throughout the tournament. So maybe we need to fit another batter in there at number 8.
Yeah.
Or maybe we do what England do. You know, Chris Woakes, Sam Curran. That's got loads of runs down the order. That could be the option there.
Well, we all have the same bottom three, pretty much. Like, Toby have it in a different order, but we got Shami, Zampa and Bumrah. So they're all in.
Sorted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think
that's
works.
Our 9, 10, 11. So we just have to decide on number 8 now. That is between Gerald Coetzee, Mitchell Stark, and Mitchell Santner.
Mm. Who did you have in there?
I
in
had
number 8.
Coetzee.
As well. Oh, okay. So this is the tough one. Not that I'm not allowing Mitch Stark in the side.
No.
That's a rogue call. He had a decent final, but that's the one game he had that I thought he went well in. I just don't think you can have in the team of the tournament Mitch Stark, who didn't go wicketless, but particularly when you compare it to his last couple of tournaments. And you guys had him as a leading wicket takers in the tournament.
Yeah. I was just respecting his World Cup legacy. And also, you know, big match player. For me, that was the biggest thing, including which is Stark. Yeah, I was really confused with a few others. And Coetzee is a good shout.
Yeah.
He had a good tournament. Really good tournament when you wouldn't have expected him to do that much. But for me, Stark was, again, one, the big match player. And secondly, just the variety in the fast bowling attack, having just one left-arm pacer in there. And I think he was better than Trent Bolt at the tournament.
Interestingly, none of us went with Madashankar, which I thought.
Mm.
He sort of...
Good shot.
Almost immediately, he was the first one that came into my mind as a sort of making in as a sort of fourth seamer. But
his economy was just a bit too high.
That's what I was thinking.
I think that's why even I didn't eventually go with him.
But I think he's in the 15.
I think he makes the 15. I think you're right there.
But in terms of Mitchell Stark, I think he's got two vetoes now. Me and Toby both saying no. He was good in the semis and the final, but in the
rest of the tournament,
So you guys want to have just another spinner in Santner there?
Or Coetzee, which I think is a tough one.
It's Santner or Coetzee. I don't mind the shout for Mitchell Stark, because we only got two Australia players. The winning team.
Yeah.
We only got two
I think
players.
That
There's
almost...
No story of this World Cup.
I think it almost shows the strength of Australia in some ways, though, was that none of their players really stood out. I mean, what David Warner had a really good start to the tournament and kind of tailed off. Head was almost the opposite, came in later on and finished strong. Mitch Marsh was decent throughout and had a few big innings, but wasn't really that consistent. Maxwell obviously did Maxwell things. And then Hazelwood and Cummins were both sort of somewhat quiet throughout, but in a decent way, I guess. And then Zampa, obviously, almost top of the wicket takers. If it wasn't for Mohammed Shami's amazing end to the tournament when he finally got a chance. So I think it's not a bad thing that there aren't many Australians in there. And they also probably weren't the best team in the tournament until the final.
Yeah, true. Good shout. So we're ruling out Mitchell Stark and Santner or Coetzee. Ayush?
I'll go Gerald Coetzee because Santner, I think you already have Ravindra Jadeja, left-arm spinner. And we have Zampa as well already in the team. So I would say Gerald Coetzee then. He's more than handy with the bat as well. I think a couple of times in the tournament he did show the capability to add some runs, you know, in those last four batting positions, which is crucial. Mitchell Stark as well can do that. We've seen that, but Coetzee as well can. So if it's between him and Santner, then I'm giving him the edge here.
Toby?
I'm struggling here. Not gonna lie, I hadn't even really thought of Santner as a possibility in the side until you mentioned him 5 minutes ago or whatever it was. I just thought if... Because obviously I had Maxwell down at 7. Jadeja was the other option who I maybe would have thought about bringing in. just I think that almost sums up Santa a little bit. He went under the radar. But I also really like Coetzee. I thought he bowled well throughout. It was hugely impressive that he came into the side not long ago, what, 23 years old, and out bowled Ngidi to steal his place for that semi-final, which is kind of crazy. Before the tournament, you wouldn't have thought that at all. I assume they'd be playing two spinners through most of it with Shamsi and Maharaj. But Coetzee was hugely impressive, and that he should probably be leading the line for the next decade for South Africa. Probably be there for the next two, maybe three World Cups, depending on how he goes as well. So I'm leaning towards Coetzee, but I'll see what you say, Michael, and see if you can change my mind.
I agree. I agree with Coetzee. He played two less games than Santner, got four more wickets, 19.8 average, which was one of the best in the tournament. Mm. Really good. I think great wicket taker. Santner's too similar to Jadeja for me. Don't need both of them in there. But it's really harsh. Santner's will get in the 15 for sure. So that is our team done. Rohit Sharma, Travis Head, Virat Kohli, Daryl Mitchell at 4, KL Rahul at 5.
Taking the gloves as well.
Yeah. Glenn Maxwell at 6, 7, Ravindra Jadeja, 8, Gerald Coetzee, 9, Mohammad Shami, 10, Adam Zampa, 11, Jasprit Bumrah.
Perfect. And then what?
Strong.
Notable
mentions. Ratchin Ravindra.
Definitely.
Alexander for sure.
Quinton de Kock, I think. Probably makes it as your backup keeper and backup top order batter.
Yeah. Madushankar.
Yeah, I think you have to. Yep. His left arm as well took a lot of wickets. And I think if he slotted into the side, it'd probably go for. He might still go for a lot of runs, but it'd take even more wickets, I think, because they'd have to try and target him. And he wouldn't necessarily need to try and be as attacking and take as many wickets and could maybe therefore drop his economy because of that.
Yeah, okay. Yes. So that is our 15.
It's a very strong 15. Are we going Rohit Sharma as captain as well? Is he skippering for us?
For me, yes.
Yeah, I think it has to be. There's not really any other options, to be fair.
I think you would do Virat Kohli. Shake it all up.
No, I wouldn't go there.
Okay, so that is a wrap on the team of the tournament. I think that's... I'm happy with that. I'm happy.
It's nice, of course.
I can't imagine many teams around the world would beat that in ODI cricket as well.
No chance.
That's great.
Okay, so let's move on to our biggest disappointments. We've all made our teams of our 11 players who we're most disappointed in. I'll kick things off.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone Johnny Bairstow opening the batting with Tembu Bavuma. Got Babar Azam at 3, Joe Root at 4, Steve Smith at 5, Joss Butler at 6, Chris Wokes at 7, Mitchell Starc at 8, Trent Bolt, Mark Wood and Mohammad Siraj. Toby, what about you?
I went for similarly Bairstow opening alongside Tanzid Hassan, Bangladeshi opening bat. Tembu Bavuma had at 3, probably skippering the side as well. So they at least have some sort of decent chance with him there, I'd say. Root at 4 as well. I went for Josh Inglis, different Aussie at 5. I just thought he didn't really have as much with the bat when he did come in. Josh Butler at 6 as well. Moen Ali at 7. Dhananjaya De Silva at 8, which possibly a bit low. Maybe Chris Wokes could be in there. Mark Wood at 9. Harris Ralph at 10. And Mustafa Fizer at 11. I thought that seam attack all disappointed, which is exactly what we want.
Interesting. I think Harris Ralph's definitely a good shout. Aish, what about you?
Mine's very similar to you, Michael, in the sense. So I'll just read it out. Johnny Bairstow, definitely.
Yeah.
I think Tembu Bavuma as well, given that, you know, his form lead coming into the tournament. He was one of their best batters. We spoke about it on one of our previous episodes with Daniel Gallen as well, where he highlighted that. So Bavuma in there for me. Babar Azam, quite unfortunately, is on this list. I mean, before the tournament, who could have imagined he wouldn't even make our 15 for team of the tournament? And he one of the disappointing players of the tournament, definitely. Joe Root, absolutely in there. It's just, I mean, again, another guy who I really did not expect to have such a terrible tournament, like so bad. Again, it's not, I mean, based on the order, but I want to maybe I should have put him up a little bit higher, of course, but Shubman Gill for me.
Oh, yeah.
He's in this
true.
You know, disappointing team. Just
80 in the semi-final.
He did have some really good innings. That one, I think a couple of innings there as well, but he's really put himself, he's set the standard really high for himself. Given that, I think it was a bit disappointing for him. And then I have, I do have Trent Bolt in that disappointing team of mine. Mark Wood for sure. Harris Rauf as well. I agree there with Toby, who was really bad. And is that 11? I think that is 11.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
No, Joss Butler.
I was considering him. Yeah. He was, but then, I mean, that way there would be so many names on that list of mine.
Yeah.
But he was, I mean, I was thinking about Butler and Gill, but for me, I thought Gill could have had a lot better. Mm. And I do want to mention that it's not a criticism of Gill, because when he came into the tournament, he was really unwell. He was down with dengue at the start, and that's a very challenging condition to recover from quickly. I mean, I was just surprised that he was, I think just a week after he recovered from dengue, he was playing that match against Pakistan, I think it was. So that was good on him, I mean, to come and show that commitment. But just thinking of the kind of tournament he could have had personally and then ended up having.
I think that's a really interesting one, because he averaged over 40 and had a decent tournament by those standards. But actually, when you look at where he scored his runs, other than the semi-final, he got 50s. Three of his four 50s came against Netherlands, Sri Lanka and Bangladesh, who were probably three of the weaker sides in the tournament, other than England, that is. So, yeah, he didn't really stand out when he had the opportunity, which I guess is a slight shame that maybe he'll be looking to remedy in the next 4 years and getting ready for the next World Cup and the next cycle. I personally, if you're not going for, if you're going for Gill, you probably drop Root and have Butler in ahead of Root. I think he was worse. He has no saviour innings. Root at least got a couple 50s.
He did.
Particularly against New Zealand, was the only batter who looked in some nick of any sort. But yeah, I thought
that's fair.
Butler probably was the most disappointing player in the whole tournament. I had him as player of the tournament before this.
Yeah.
And it just stunk the place out. It just didn't really click. I think obviously being captain and England playing so badly as well, I think is a big factor that he just didn't quite, well, just nothing worked for him, whether it was him as a batter or as a captain.
Yeah, I 100% agree there. Ayush, I put Mohammad Siraj in my 11.
I saw that.
As an India fan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he did have, I do see where you're coming from putting him in there, because there were times where it was a lot of pressure on Bumrah with the new ball, because there were times Siraj was erratic. You get that. But I do also think that He was a little threatening, Siraj, at times. I think that it was the game against Sri Lanka where I think he was really good. And apart from that, most of his other performances were nowhere even close to what he did in that game against Sri Lanka at Wankhede. 4 or 5 wickets or something that he got. I can't remember exactly what his bowling figures were that day. But he was good. He was really good, like he was in the Asia Cup final against them. But I just think he was well complemented by generally a really, really strong bowling attack.
Yeah.
Shami, Bumrah, Jadeja, Kuldeep, Hardik, how much of the tournament he ended up playing. So that's where I think even if there was some other bowler in his situation where no one else to support him, I think he would have really spiraled. But I think he was taken care of by the others.
Yeah, I think maybe what I'm doing there is comparing him with Mohammad Shami and Jasprit Bumrah, which is just,
that's tough on him.
Yeah, so that's not a good thing to do. And when you're in a bowling attack with them, you're probably going to be the one who's being targeted.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, tough call. No, did neither of you put Steve Smith in there?
I didn't. I thought he did have a slight disappointing tournament, but he still averaged over 30, still made some runs when he needed to. batted at number four as well, a position he doesn't like to bat, and he made everyone know that, made sure everyone knew that he didn't want to bat at four as well when Travis Head came back in. So I guess you could maybe put him in there as a lack of a team player, which is a bit disappointing, but I guess you kind of know what you're getting with Steve Smith. And yeah, to be fair though, I think Labuschagne almost had a worse World Cup than him as well.
He just revived himself in that final.
I think Labuschagne had a better World Cup than Steve Smith.
I think they were similarly poor.
Poor, yeah.
And I don't think one was worse than the other. And that probably they both looked worse because they had the other doing similarly bad in a similar fashion and in a similar way.
And the Labuschagne thing was interesting because if it wouldn't have gone like it did in the final, that Labuschagne call would have been a very, very bad call to have him in the team, because he got lucky there. That I wouldn't say lucky, he just really played very, very well, but that situation was tailor-made for him, where he did not, I mean, it was fine for him to strike at, his strike rate was what, 50-60-ish in the final. That's exactly what they needed in the final, and they were fortunate that that situation came in the final, because if they were chasing 300, he wouldn't have been able to afford to play the way he did. So he did, I mean, he was fantastic in the final, ably supporting Head, but I get it, he was poor throughout the World Cup.
I think it does just show what the Aussies, their kind of tactics when they select both of them throughout the whole tournament. And obviously with the T20s now and the World Cup next year, it'll be interesting to see if and where they fit one or both of them in. Because personally, I don't think you have them in. Smith maybe could slide in somewhere, but I think Australia's batting talent is so, so strong that there are surely six better batters out there than Steve Smith, including a keeper. I mean, Josh Inglis today was absolutely amazing against India, which form he didn't show in the World Cup, which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing we can take away from the disappointing team is how many England players are in it.
Very much
that,
so.
That's the sad part, really. A tournament to forget for England, for sure. So yeah, we'll wrap it up our World Cup coverage there. How have you guys enjoyed covering this World Cup?
Yeah, it's been really good. Yeah, no, it's been a great World Cup. Obviously, England's performance wasn't anywhere near as good as we were all hoping and expecting. But the tournament as a whole, I thought, definitely got better throughout, and maybe they'll learn about the format and change it up for 4 years' time and use the Champions Trophy and everything else to try and sort of straighten out the bumps. But I was happy with it, and it was a good World Cup final in the end, which I think is almost more important, that people will forget the boring games at the beginning if the end of the tournament's exciting. I mean, you look at the World Cup in 2019, it was a better World Cup generally, but no one really remembers the matches themselves. It's the final that everyone talks about, and that in itself was quite boring until the final 20 overs or whatever it was, when everything went crazy and Ben Stokes was hitting sixes along the floor off the back of his bat when he was like diving into for that final single or double or whatever it was, and Trent Bolt stepping on ring on the boundary and super overs. So I think that's almost more important, was the final, and that India somehow yet again didn't take the trophy home.
Yeah. Ayush?
Yeah, I completely agree with a lot of things there, Toby, that you said. It was fun covering the World Cup. It was sad that there was just one last ball finish throughout the tournament. The Australia-New Zealand game, I think the South Africa-Pakistan was really close, but apart from that, nothing really, really as close. So that was disappointing for me. I wanted to see a lot more of that. And the format, definitely, they need to revisit. We've spoken about this multiple times throughout our World Cup coverage itself over the last couple of months, and they really need to look at that. But I think all in all, yeah, it was not great. Definitely not among the best World Cups that we've seen. Definitely not. But it did get a little bit more engaging as the tournament went by, as you'd expect. With India, yeah, I mean, very disappointing. And the narrative, the headlines, I think rightly, should be that they couldn't get the job done again in the knockouts, as good as they were. But when the dust settles in a few days, I think they could be proud that they played such a great campaign. It is, I mean, looking at it from a future standpoint, or, you know, what going ahead, I think they're in a good position, because if they can continue to play the way they did in the first 10 matches of the World Cup, it bodes really well for them. It's just that they're going to have to come get over this mental block probably that they have in the semis, the finals of these big tournaments, because I think that's what it did come down to. I mentioned it the other day as well, and I think that's what it is. Maybe get someone like Paddy up and back in. I don't know. But yeah, so really successful campaign for them as well. But and for me, the final, the big point is that Australia, I mean, are mental giants in the sport, and they just know how to get the job done.
Yeah, okay, so there we are. That is our coverage of the 2023 Cricket World Cup done. But not to worry, we still have lots of stuff to come. Weekly episodes on the One Shot podcast. We will have the Team of the Tournament article out next week. Any other articles to plug?
I did a match preview and a match report of the World Cup, both out on the Sports Gazette website now.
Yeah, and I'm coming up with one where it's a little bit of a different thing than the sport itself, but I'm talking about the sustainability impact of this Cricket World Cup, because that's what I thought. There was one thing that wasn't really spoken about that should be, given everything that's going around in the world. So yeah, I'll be coming up with that soon.
Yeah, well, be sure to give those a read. Come back next week for the next episode, and we'll see you then.